Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am Tony Serino alongside Christopher Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, Chris and I are going to go over some news and notes today. David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, addressing the rumors about him potentially being interested in guys like Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about some injury news going into this game against the Bills. The Steelers coming into this game relatively healthy now with Connor and Juju back at practice. And we'll finish up today with some talk about the Ravens as they play the Jets tonight on Thursday Night Football. Welcome to the show. You can find more of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Himalaya app. Wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow us on Twitter at LO Steelers. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit like on the Facebook page. But make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. All right, Chris, how you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, Tony?
Chris, who is a better musician, Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell? Have you heard the 30-second snippet of Antonio Brown?
No, I have not heard a 30-second snippet of Antonio Brown.
Oh, you got to listen to it. It's great. It's great. Actually, the song itself is great right up until AB starts his verse, and then it turns into a Le'Veon Bell song at that point.
I listen to rap every day. I listen to some form of hip-hop. I'm not necessarily new rap. But I enjoy breaking down songs that are actually good. Like, if you want good rap, like, there's plenty out there. Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, yada, yada, yada. There's plenty of guys that are actually talented. When people ask me, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell's rap? I'm like, just no. Just sit the hell down somewhere. turn that stuff off. It's not, no. Just no.
Were you joined in with the rest of us listening to Le'Veon's mixtape the night that he said he was going to announce who he was going to? He had that mixtape that came out, trying to parse the lyrics to see who he's going to sign with.
No, I gave it up when it was the year before. I want to say the year before he held out. I forget if it was the year before he held out or the year before the Jaguars playoffs, like the season, because I remember he released a song called Target.
Yes. Of course. It's a classic. It's a classic in Pittsburgh.
It's not a classic. It's not. Listen. Black and Yellow, it's a classic. Blue Slide Park, it's a classic. That is not a classic.
Well, but I'll tell you what. This Antonio Brown song is going to be a classic. Give it a listen after we're done recording here. All right, let's start with some news and notes around the NFL. And this one, still relating to the Steelers, it is David Tepper. His Carolina Panthers team looking to go through a reshuffling of the front office and the coaching staff. Now, we had talked the other day, Chris. There's been rumors about, could he go after Tomlin? No. Could he go after Kevin Colbert? I guess that's more realistic, but still probably not. Or other people within the organization. Tepper actually addressed the whole notion that he would go after someone like Mike Tomlin. And his quote here is really not suitable for the Locked On Network, so I'll try to bleep it here. But he said, "You think I would bleep Art Rooney?" So he's pretty emphatic that he's not going after Mike Tomlin. He's not going after Kevin Colbert. Maybe some other people, right? Scouts and that kind of thing. We talked about Omar Khan, Chris, but this talk of Kevin Colbert or Mike Tomlin going to the Panthers was always crazy, and I'm glad even Tepper put it to bed.
Yeah, you can put away your tinfoil hats. It's not happening. Yeah. And it makes sense. Again, Tepper, he used to be a minority owner with the Steelers, and as much juice as this guy has, like the business school at Carnegie Mellon University is named after him. Like if you guys need to understand how much of a rich dude this guy is, being an owner of an NFL team should be enough. But that's the respect the Rooney's command in the league.
Yeah.
And the respect that they have amongst people that they've worked with. So yeah, not surprised at all. I'm glad it just puts this whole thing to bed. I mean, it won't, because there'll still be the people that are conspiracy theorists and there's a Panthers plane in the airport.
Right. No, I mean, Tomlin's still going to the Redskins, right? Now we just know it's the Redskins, not the Panthers. Yeah, I mean, that's
what, so what you're saying is Tepper ruined the potential bidding war that Kevin Colbert could have set up.
Ooh, good point. I hadn't thought of that. That's actually a good point, Chris. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about the salary cap, which the NFL has put out its guidance to the teams, letting them know, generally speaking, where they can expect the salary cap to be in 2020. They say it's going to be between $196 million and $201 million. Now, I know You know, those are just big numbers. Basically, that's pretty much in range with where people thought it was going to be. If you're going over to overthecap.com and looking up future salary projections, I believe that they're using right now $200 million as their expectation. So this is right in line with that. I know people were writing in, Chris, to us today saying, is this going to help the Steelers with someone like Bud Dupree? Not really. I mean, if it were on the high end there, if it were over $200 million, any money is going to help right now with the Steelers, because they're going to go into 2020 with just $3 million of cap space. They can roll over this year's cap space into next year as well. But as we've talked about, they're going to have to do, regardless of what happens with Bud Dupree, they're just going to have to make some moves on the roster, extensions, restructuring some money, and letting some guys go to make some cap space in 2020.
Yeah, I can just see this kind of playing out the way we expected it to. There's not a whole lot here that was unknown. The big deal for everyone to keep an eye on is if the collective bargaining agreement going down after this next season, if the NFL players consent to an extra game, that's going to create a lot of extra revenue, and that's going to, you know, give more money to the players, which will mean a significant boost in the cap space after next season. So not this season. Now, we're not talking about this upcoming salary cap. That's going to be what it's going to be. But if this next CBA does what some are projecting that it will do, it may give the players more money, which means they're going to have to increase the salary caps, which may mean that when the Steelers are considering re-signing players like T.J. Watt and Juju Smith-Schuster, that money could come right in the nick of time.
Right, and they could kind of factor that in, right, with kind of backloading some of these deals. Although, you know, so much of NFL contracts now is about guaranteed money and upfront money. The Steelers still don't operate, you know, exactly like the rest of the league, but they may have to come around to it eventually. So, yeah, you're right. That could play in when it comes to kind of offloading some of that money later on in the deal, because they know the cap's going to go up in future years. That would be smart. And that's why we need a guy like Omar Khan around, because he's been a genius at that in the past for the Steelers.
Yep.
All right. One more thing here. I guess we got to address the Patriots thing again. I know we went a little long on it the other day, but it is big news around the NFL. This thing is still going on. Spygate 2.0. We now know what's on the tapes, Chris, and it is 8 straight minutes of the Bengals sideline. Cool.
Come on, guys. I mean, and here's the brilliant thing is that they're saying the exact same thing that they said about the last Spygate. In the last Spygate, it was reported that they instructed their agents that went out and collected the footage to, if they were caught, to say, I'm part of a separate film crew that's affiliated with the Patriots but not part of the Patriots, and give these kind of excuses. For them to give the exact same excuse while filming uninterrupted footage for several minutes of the Bengals sidelines, it confirms several things. One, it confirms that they are liars and that they are still cheating. And two, it means that they've been doing this for probably quite some time, and that they don't care about the NFL's punishments because they don't consider them substantial enough. Because if you're doing it to the one-win Bengals, you definitely did it to the Texans. You definitely did it to the Ravens. And it's funny if they lost both of those games. You definitely did it to the Chiefs. They probably did it to the Steelers. You have to wonder how far has this gone. But to me,
how deep does this conspiracy go?
How deep does this go? But to me, if again, this is sort of like, you know, what we talked about before. And I said this on Bag of Donuts podcast with Joey. If you have a kid, right, Tony, and your son, you know, he's been caught stealing cookies from the cookie jar before, and you know, and you've told him, hey, bad, don't do that. You know, you're grounded for a day, or you don't get any more cookies. But then you keep seeing the cookies are disappearing from the cookie jar, and you can't prove it's him, but you know it's him, and then one day you find cookie crumbs in his bed, and you say, you're caught. That's it. I didn't see you with the cookies, but I've seen the crumbs here. And then he's like, well, I didn't put them there. My sister put them there. You're not going to believe him after you've caught him two times already. I'm sorry. It's out. the Patriots are cheaters, and they continue to cheat. And we may never know how long this has been going, but it's apparent. I mean, the report from last time stretched all the way back to the early 2000s. This just continues to go along with Deflategate and the first spy gate. It's clear that this entire run that they've had, and I wouldn't even say that, because I hate characterizing a run for 20 years. They had a run from 2001 to 2004, and then they had another run from, 2014 to now. And you know, because they didn't win Super Bowls in between those years. But you know, you can attribute both of those runs to these kind of scandals. I think it paints the picture that any reasonably logical thinking fan can understand for themselves.
I have a really quick conspiracy theory.
What's that?
And I did not come up with this. I cannot take credit for it, but I do love it. And it is just nefarious enough that it could be true. Okay. So I was listening to Pardon My Take this morning.
Okay.
And they brought up the theory that the Patriots right now are down. They are not playing well. This team has a lot of problems, right? Mm-hmm. They do not look like the Patriots of old. They do best when they're, you know, backs against the wall, no one believes in us. They like to play that crap up, right? You know, yep. That last year, like, we're still here, you know, that stupid chant, as if anyone was really doubting the Patriots last year. Okay, so their theory is that Belichick did this on purpose, that he did this. Look, think about this. You're right. They did this exactly the same way. It is to a T the exact same excuse that they used, 10 years ago when they got caught in the original Spygate, right? What? So you're telling me that Bill Belichick and this whole organization didn't, like, they got caught and then they just kept doing it the exact same way and they're just getting caught now, like 10 years later? That seems very fishy, right? It seems very strange that they wouldn't change it up a little bit. So their theory is that this is actually Belichick's way of saying, look, no one's going to believe in us again because I'm going to get them to call us cheaters. And now we have this thing we can use to pump ourselves up for the next couple weeks. Chris, I mean, we know the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
You know, the funniest take that I've heard on this was on ESPN. They brought on Eric Mangini to talk about it. And Eric Mangini said that this is overblown and that Spygate doesn't really do anything and that it doesn't have an impact on the game. And anyone who complains about it,
Mangini said this?
Is a sore loser. And
isn't Mangini the one that turned them in?
The very man who reported it in the first place is saying that is when you know that the fix has been put in. They have his wife and family being held hostage.
You will go on ESPN and you will defend us.
Yes. Or you'll never see your wife and child again. This is the very man that reported Spygate. And the thing is, the entire league knew about Spygate the entire time, but the public didn't because they kept it under wraps. And he's the one that exposed it.
Well, I think a lot of people had, back in the day, a lot of people had suspicions about it. But no one could actually confirm it until Mangini, who knew how they did it, was able to tell the league, this is how it's happening. Go find them. Because I guess what happened back in the day is like Mangini told the Patriots, hey, I know you do this because I was involved in it. So when they played the Jets, he said, don't do it to us. And the Patriots said, no, we're going to do it to you. So he said, okay, well, I'm turning you in then. Weird of him to go on there and say it had no impact. Hey, if it had no impact, then don't turn him in the first place. Clearly it had some impact because you didn't want him doing it. Anyway, all right, let's go to break here. When we come back, we'll talk about the injury situation going into Sunday night's game between the Steelers and Bills. All right, Chris, let's talk more about Sunday's game between the Steelers and Bills, and let's talk about the injury situation because, it has been the storyline in Pittsburgh pretty much all year. It's becoming less and less a storyline now as this team is working back to full health. In fact, I'm happy to report that Wednesday's practice report looks pretty good. We have some guys held out for coach's decision. Mark Barron, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Alejandro Villanueva. In fact, boy, the Steelers, I don't know if they probably had a hell of a time just fielding a starting offensive line at practice today, but they did give those three guys the day off as well as Mark Barron. Vance McDonald's out with that concussion. I don't expect he's going to play this week. And then Jalen Samuels out with the groin injury. Same thing, probably not. I think the expectation should be that Samuels will also sit out. But the good news is you can swap out Jalen Samuels for James Conner because Conner is back in a full capacity with that shoulder and Juju is back with the knee injury. And Chris, those are two huge gets for the Steeler offense.
Absolutely. Juju Smith-Schuster, will, if he's back, most likely I suspect he would take on the role of challenging Tre'Davious White, which would open up more opportunities for Deontay Johnson and James Washington. White, to me, and we talked about him in the crossover episode, but when I watched that guy play cornerback, I'm like, man, he's good. I love how physical he is. He's challenging. He's cocky. You know, he has that swagger of a NFL cornerback that you want. I really like watching him play. That being said, if you're looking at him playing the Steelers, he's going to make someone's life hard. If he's following Juju, that's going to give Washington and Johnson that many more opportunities to pick at the rest of the Bills secondary. And they're no slouches either, but they're not Tre'Davious White level. So that's very huge for sure.
Yeah, and you're right, because, you know, Juju is a physical receiver in his own. So, I mean, him going up against Tre'Davious White can be kind of a good matchup there. Whereas you have to feel like Tre'Davious White with Deontay Johnson and being more of the route running type and add the agility that he brings, you know, he'd have to win via his route running. I mean, if it becomes a matchup of strength on strength and they're going to play him in kind of a bump and run type of situation, that could be, like you said, a long day for Deontay Johnson. But with Juju back, you have to expect they're going to put, like you said, Tre'Davious White on Juju. Good matchup there for the Steelers. And then getting James Conner back in the running game. The question here, and Tomlin was kind of, you know, he kind of brushed off the question when they were asked, like, so right now Benny Snell has basically been the starting running back for this team, and then they've worked in Samuels, they've worked in Kareth White. You know, does Conner now come back off this shoulder injury and go right back into that starting role? Or does he take a smaller role in this game as they work, you know, kind of work him back into the lineup? How do you think Tomlin and Fichtner are going to approach that?
I think they're going to ease him in. I think he'll start, but they will rotate him a lot. Like I can expect it being, maybe even less than 50% of the carries. I mean, you might get like a 40-40-20 situation. Yeah. With him and Snell splitting evenly and then Kareth White still being worked in. I think they really like Kareth White. The way that he's running, I just watch Mike Tomlin and how he appreciates certain young players stepping up. I think that they're liking what they see out of his quick feet and what he brings there. And also, you know, I think they're also looking like, hey, we could really use that guy that protects Devlin Hodges in the backfield, you know, in an emergency situation, because the Bills will be coming. And I don't think they should take that lightly. If his shoulder's ready to go, if he can actually take on guys, he could be a huge asset as the sidecar sixth man protecting to give Devlin Hodges more time.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And I hope the Steelers don't, I hope they use Conner, but I hope they don't, that doesn't come at the expense of a guy like Kareth White. Cause I've liked what I've seen from him and Snell as well. You have to expect we're going to see a lot of Snell. I just hope that, you know, the insertion of Conner into the offense and wanting to get him back in doesn't come at the expense of still getting Kareth White, you know, whatever it's been these last couple of games, 5, 6, 7 touches. I mean, the same can be said for Juju, right? I mean, Juju coming back into the lineup might mean that Deion Kane gets less of a look, but boy, I'd hate to see that, because Deion Kane has been another one of those guys over the last couple of weeks that has really stepped up and really been, you know, it's an underrated part of the offense because it hasn't been splashy numbers, but, you know, big plays at big moments is what they've gotten from those guys, and it's exactly what that Steeler offense needed.
No, yeah, I agree. They need something to spark up the offense. But getting your two Pro Bowl guys back, that's huge. Now, granted, they both have to be healthy,
right?
But they this is an all hands on deck week.
Yeah.
Because if they win this game, it puts them in the 5 seed, and it gives them a chance to lock up a playoff spot in week 16. Who would have thought that this would have happened? It clinches a winning season, first of all.
Yep.
But who would have thought that they'd be here? This would be the heck of a time for those guys to come back and just put up a couple scores and put the pressure on Josh Allen, and for the Bills to have to get desperate on their own offensive side of the ball. I think this is going to be a very interesting week. If these guys come back and step up, or at least allow, you know, take the attention away from other guys, man, it's just been one wild ride.
It has. And you're right. I mean, look, a 5 seed is huge, because it can mean the difference between playing someone like the Chiefs or playing someone like the Texans or the Titans, right? I mean,
or the Titans, right? Because that's going to be up in the air for sure. So I'm very intrigued with how this works out. You know, of course, Tony, they could still win the division if the Ravens somehow lose to the Jets and the Browns. Well, the Browns did spank him earlier, but still, that's just, oh, man.
It's out there. It could happen. It could happen. All right, one more break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Bills and their injury situation, and then do a little preview of Thursday Night Football right after this. All right, let's continue here with the injury situation. This time we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills and what they have going on. And they don't have a lot going on, Chris. They're coming into this game pretty healthy, much like the Steelers. I mean, I know the Steelers are dealing with some season-long injuries. Of course, Ben going down, although, you know, Duck's pretty good himself. Tua going down, right? The Bills come into this game relatively healthy. They have two players who were given the day off. That was Lorenzo Alexander and Jerry Hughes. They have Corey Luget. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Maybe. He's got a knee injury. He did not practice on Wednesday. And then their tackle, Ty Nsekhe. I think I got that one, or I practiced that one before we started. He's got an ankle injury. He did not practice.
Like, no one told you how to pronounce that one at all. You just got that one.
Yeah, that was off the cuff, straight up. Yeah, absolutely. they come into this game, Chris, relatively healthy, the Bills do. I mean, look, you know, Nsekhe, you know, starting tackle here. The Steelers have been so good off the edge. I mean, although I don't imagine that, you know, he starts, he doesn't start. Is that really going to have a material impact on the Steelers' ability to get to Josh Allen? Because, I mean, this team has, you know, everyone's writing about it this week, right? The ability to get to the quarterback and their ability to create turnover. This Steeler defense is like, it's unprecedented how well they've done in 2019.
Yeah, it to me, this is, look, you look at it and it's like they've been creating it against everybody. And again, this is at Heinz Field, where that's where the pressure has been coming a lot more for the team. They've been able to generate more pressure because teams are on silent counts. Their timing's not as sharp getting off the ball. They have to communicate a lot. It's a lot harder to communicate with all that noise going on. It's a big deal. So absolutely. I don't care who the Bills really throw out there this week. The Steelers, I'd be confident that they're going to apply pressure on Josh Allen, but they have to take the approach that they did with Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield, because Allen is elusive. He right. will get loose and he will take advantage if you abandon a gap. So you gotta be prepared for that. But Allen's also taken 33 sacks this season. So I think that, you know, that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at this and you're thinking, you know what, maybe this is the time to get after them. The ground game really hasn't established itself for the Bills this season. You know, Singletary's had some hot days. Believe me, I know, because I have him on one of my fantasy teams. But he hasn't really – he only has 642 yards on the season. He's only had two touchdowns. Frank Gore, you know, same sort of deal, 558 yards, two touchdowns. They have T.J. Yeldon, the guy that roasted them with the Jaguars years ago, but he hasn't even been used. So there's just a lot of guys I see, and I'm like, you know, they're I think the Steelers, they know what they have to do. The defense, it doesn't have to do anything, I think, particularly special this week. The biggest thing, I think, is if you contain the running quarterback like you normally do and you take away those short intermediate routes after he starts to find – let him see where he's comfortable attacking underneath. Don't give him the big play. Don't give him the one-on-ones to John Brown where he gets a free shot down the sideline, because those are the bailout plays. Eventually, he's going to tip his hand. He's a young quarterback. You'll pick at his tendencies, and then you'll see the Joe Haydens, the Minkah Fitzpatricks, get a chance to flip the game around.
Yeah, that's going to be a real key right there. And I would say the same thing on the other side, right, which is with Duck, right? The Bills are going to, you know, it's going to be a game of which quarterback flinches first, because you got two young quarterbacks who I know Duck has been very safe with the ball. I still believe we're going to see a game with Duck where he throws 2, 3, 4 interceptions. I mean, you know, his aggressiveness is going to come back to bite this team at some point. I don't know when it's going to be. Could be this week. It's going to be which team blinks first, which quarterback blinks first. You have to imagine a low-scoring, run-the-ball kind of game. Field position is going to matter a lot. But at some point, I think one of these teams is going to want to get aggressive, and they may end up paying for it. We'll see what happens on Sunday. And we'll also see, Chris, what's going to happen tonight between the Jets and Ravens, because like you talked about, the AFC North, not done yet. If the Jets can pull off the upset, huh? Huh? Oh,
no. The Jets. Pulling off an upset over the Ravens. It could happen, Tony. Listen, this season, I am I sat in a car with this man who said Devlin Hodges could be the truth, and Devlin Hodges is sitting here undefeated as a starter. I'm sorry.
It's too weird for you.
anything can happen at this point. I don't, you know, and Le'Veon Bell and all the stuff that's going around with the Jets. Le'Veon Bell's, you know, missing the game with the flu, and then, you know, seen out bowling then, you know, on Saturday night before the game. It's just like, oh Lord, how rough can it be to be a Jet? There's talk about them trying to jettison both him and Jamal Adams after the season's over. You know, it's just,
I'll take both, please. One of each.
One of each. One of each. I mean, you don't need Jamal Adams anymore.
That's true. But you know what? That can't hurt if he's out there.
We're just gonna create a third safety position.
Why not?
But man, that is just wild to me. They're just the Jets are all over the place.
Is it in New York? Tonight's game is in New York, or is it in?
I thought it was in Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore? Yeah, never mind. Now, there's no chance of an upset there. I mean, unless, you know, the only – yeah, it's in Baltimore. You're right. The only chance of an upset tonight is – and you don't want to wish injury on anyone, but, right, I mean, Lamar's coming into this game with a quad injury.
Yeah.
You know, it does feel like if you watch last week's game against the Bills, you know, teams are trying to, you know, get that extra shot on him because at this point, I mean, the guy has been so good over the last couple weeks. Stopping him within the sidelines is just not happening right now.
Tony, there is that, you know, tomorrow is Thursday the 12th, which means this game will most likely end on Friday the 13th.
Oh,
we are seriously reaching here for any chance that the Ravens might lose. I just don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either.
I think they're going to dominate the Jets. I do think you'll see RG3 come in at some point because they'll want, because this is also a short week. And I think they'll want to say, like, hey Lamar, we got this game. Let's give this a rest.
Yeah, and you know what? It won't matter because the Steelers, like the Ravens, clinch. They'll clinch home field. All this that the Steelers need that game in week 17 to be a freebie. And if the Ravens do clinch, it ends up working out for the Steelers. And look, the Steelers are the sixth seed. If they end up being the sixth seed and the Ravens are the one seed, that sets up for a round two matchup between the Steelers and Ravens. And I'd rather that be the game that matters than that week 17 game where the Steelers could go into that week 17 game and somehow miss the playoffs if they were to lose it, something like that. No, thank you. I'd rather play this team in the playoffs. So, yeah, and the Ravens are likely going to win tonight anyway. So what does it matter? All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you all for listening. Chris, let people know where they can find your work.
As always, find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques, where if you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with an @, hit me with a DM. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks so much to everyone who does reach out about the show. If you want to support the show, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please leave us a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. Those things really help us get the word out for the show. If you want to get more of my work, you can check me out at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I am the lead NFL analyst, breaking down the X's and O's better than anyone else on the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can read my Carter's Classroom column Monday through Friday. And right now, because we are a paid site, we are a subscription site, but right now you can get the holiday special for just $20, $19.99 to be exact. You get an entire year's subscription to DK Pittsburgh Sports, which means you'll get all of our work on the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, and the University of Pittsburgh. We're in the locker room, we're in the film room, and we're hopefully in your room giving you all the goodies on Pittsburgh Sports.
I like that. Well done. Well done. Want to give a shout out to two new reviews we got on Apple Podcasts, two new 5-star reviews we got on Apple Podcasts. Don PSU alum 1997. Gave us a 5-star review, said we are the best Steeler podcast. Appreciate that. I can't pronounce it.
Long live LeVar Arrington.
What's that?
I said long live LeVar Arrington.
Okay. I can't pronounce this. You know who you are. You love us this 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I have no idea how to pronounce this, but he also gave us a 5-star review, said that we are outstanding. So appreciate that. Like Chris says, leaving us a 5-star review does help spread the word about the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country, and Chris and I'll be back tomorrow to finish up the week with a preview of Steelers Bills right here on Locked On Steelers.